Okay, fantastic. Very good, guys. Thank you very much. So now if people want, we can still keep going with our regular meeting, but I'm glad we got that out of the way. Because scheduling meetings is so such a stressful thing. 8:26. Okay.
Can I make a suggestion here before we go on?
Shoot.
I understand that, I'm not too good with the Internet, but I do have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that, either correctly or incorrectly, I understood that one of the stations, KPF, I don't know which one, had a list of all the PMB meetings, committee meetings.
Yeah, it's a website. It's called kpftx.org. It's not exactly associated with KPFT, but it is operated by the man who did the streaming tonight.
It's Otis.
Okay, and it has all the list. It's a list of all the committee meetings.
And minutes and schedules and agendas. It's full. Seriously.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So couldn't we use that schedule?
Yes, we are going to use that schedule.
That's what
we
they're looking at.
That's what I'm saying, to identify what is available.
Yes, we did. Actually, when we set the meetings for this evening, I was looking
at it. Sure, he was looking at it. Yeah, that's what we're using. Yeah.
What's it called again? KPFT at what?
X.org.
KPFTX.org.
Oh, X.org. Okay.
TX.
KPFTX.org.
Say one more time, just one person. KP.
Yeah, I'll say it. KPFTX.org.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we've got our next meeting scheduled. That's very good. We still dealt with the motion. Now the next agenda item is election of committee secretary. Let's see. Are there any volunteers to be committee secretary?
I'll volunteer.
Okay, Kim would volunteer. I believe Leslie put her name in the hopper for committee secretary. So we should probably have a vote. To have who's the secretary. I'd like to remind people that secretary of the programming committee is not,
A paid position?
Not a paid position. No, but that's a good point, Alberto. It's not like the most, it's a nice thing when somebody does it, but, it's not the most powerful position in the foundation, is what I'm trying to say. So why don't we go through the list of people on the call and we'll see who votes. So the two nominees are Leslie Radford and Kim Kaufman.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Rufina.
Yes.
Do we have to pick one, or could we have both in the event one doesn't show up?
You could. The one who's not chosen could be the alternate. That would be fine. That's reasonable. But somebody asked for this election to be on the agenda, so that's why it's here.
Well, point of information, sure.
Okay, go ahead, Alberto.
Who's somebody?
I was asked for it at a previous meeting, one of the committee members.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody
you were
was
asking for it, Jamie.
Pardon?
I thought you at a previous meeting had asked for it, and then I don't know, it was like the end of the meeting and we didn't get to it.
I don't actually remember, but
yeah.
Okay, and I heard somebody else's voice.
Yeah, I would just like to say that we've waited this long. One of the volunteers is not here, and I think that we should hear from each of them before we vote.
Yes.
So why can't we do this next time?
Would you like to postpone this?
I would suggest.
That would be good.
Okay, so was there any objection to postponing this?
No.
Okay.
As long as it's first on the agenda.
I second that motion.
Okay,
first thing on the agenda.
Postpone first thing on the agenda. Okay. Okay, so then our next item is the on-air whistleblower policy, which we actually talked about the last time we were all on the phone together. Hello.
I whistled.
Nice
whistle. Jamie.
We discussed it on our last call, which we didn't reach quorum, and there were two attachments which I sent around, and this is Jennifer has brought this, so I will turn it over to Jennifer to motivate and to explain what this is.
And this is Jim. I apologize. I have to leave now.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the call, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Well, Arlene Engelhard introduced this motion at, I don't remember which PNB meeting, I think the last one in L.A. And basically, it's not really a whistleblower motion, it's an on-air policy motion. And a lot of this is her language and her ideas. What she suggested was that anyone who is critical of anything, any producer who's had a criticism of the foundation or their station should have to notify her and 24 hours in advance before they could air any kind of a criticism. This really met with wild opposition by our staff at WBAI and just about everybody on the LSD. People feel it's a gag. It's a gag rule. And in a sense, it is a gag rule. People were concerned that if they made an offhand comment, they could be fired. If they made a joke about the equipment, they could be censured, whatever. And the perception of a gag, I basically feel it's a gag rule. And George Ryder and Arlene don't feel it's a gag rule. They feel it's a way of getting around a gag rule. But just the perception that Pacifica has something that looks and smells like a gag rule is not in our mission. So I decided, let's go back. However, we need to have an on-air policy to protect us from lawsuits. So a written policy that every person that goes on the air reads and knows. So I altered this policy by making the 24-hour notice a suggestion in order to protect the producer from saying, from breaching the four things that producers actually can cause trouble for the foundation and lawsuits, which is potentially libelous statements which could put the foundation at risk, confidential employee information, which Pacifica is forbidden by law to broadcast, and privileged or proprietary information. The rest is on there, and any speech that violates SEC regulations. Apparently, we will be protected as long as this is in our written policy, even if a producer does one of those four things. So it's important that we pass some version of this motion and that the PNB votes on it so it'll be included in the foundation's policy. So this is, to me, was a compromise between a total gag rule and protecting the foundation from lawsuits.
Can you read what it is then what it is that we're we're being asked to consider, Jennifer? Because I'm kind of lost now. What actually you included now?
Jennifer, quick question. The two documents from you had stuff in all caps. Are those the modifications that you add?
Well, it's kind of mixed up. Everything in caps are the modifications. I think I put them all as modifications. Yes. And then the first paragraph actually was written by Alex to distinguish grievances from artistic license. So that wasn't in Arlene's original.
Excuse me, this is Rufina, and I need to get off the call.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the call, Rufina.
Rufina.
Please come back, Rufina.
And
I sure will.
Thank you.
In a month.
Okay, in a month, and then I already know August.
Okay,
bye.
Bye, thanks.
So, Kim, what were you confused about? Did you read it?
Well, I just pulled it up to look at it. So I
okay.
So the caps are your suggestions.
Yeah, and the very first paragraph was added by somebody else, by Alex Steinberg.
But what are we being asked to do, to vote on this thing with your changes?
Yes. What happened was the Arlene's motion was brought up at the PNB, and it was tabled and thrown into the programming committee.
Uh-huh.
Largely because of mine and Alex's objections and other people. And we were asked to deal with it, so this is my version of it. Now, I was going to submit it as my own motion, but I kind of like the idea that it comes from the programming committee. I think it carries more weight.
Tonight?
Well, the in-person meeting is coming up, and it's kind of important that we get it on the agenda.
Right. See, if I can make a suggestion, I didn't really look at this with knowing what I'm looking at. You know, if somebody's introducing something like this, Jennifer, or somebody put a little sentence as a background, so I'm like new to this stuff, know what we're doing with it. You know what I mean? Like, if I had said, we want to, I put my changes in caps, I would have known what I was reading as what we were supposed to do.
Oh, you weren't on the call, I guess, last time. We discussed it so thoroughly, I kind of took it for granted, which I shouldn't have, because not everyone was on the call.
Right. And some of us are new and kind of don't really get this stuff yet, so...
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to read it now and figure out. So
it is go ahead.
And then what we will do with this is just put it in the policies, and everybody who goes on air should be aware of it.
No, it goes back to the PNB.
What would happen
it goes
is
back
that
to, yeah.
We would recommend this as a policy, and the PNB would have to approve
it.
They could modify it however they want to.
Right. It would be a motion coming out of the programming committee. Amendment to Arlene's motion coming out of the programming committee, and then the PNB would vote on it either way.
Jennifer, well, I'd like to get on the stack at some point.
Okay. Let's see. Kim, are you done with your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, go ahead. Benito?
Jennifer, if I understood... the way I saw what you wrote is that the basic change that you're making is to add the most basic, the most important, let's say, the most fundamental change that you're making is the wording in parentheses, it is suggested that with regard
That's
to
right.
the 24-hour notice.
That's basically the gist of it.
And so what happens if so-and-so does not give the 24-hour notice?
Nothing. They just go on the air and they say what they're going to say.
Yes.
But we are protected as a foundation because we have suggested this policy. I mean, the FCC accepted those things that you can't say, the dirty words and all that. Yeah, I mean, I think Ricardo explained this to me. As long as we have this in our policy, it'll be grounds in a lawsuit to hold up, that we have this in our policy, and this producer went ahead and did that, and, we're not responsible because they've read this policy. It also points out that any producer that violates those four areas will be subject to disciplinary action, which wasn't in Orleans. So, it also has that management can have equal time. To defend their position.
That's part of the reason for the 24-hour notice.
Right, but you know, it helps protect the spontaneity of our programming, and while protecting the foundation.
I'd like to get on the stack, Jamie.
Okay, Alberto. Okay, Benito.
Yeah, at some point I'd like to ask some follow-up questions.
Go ahead, Benito.
You can go ahead.
Get on the stack.
Go ahead now.
Let me make sure I'm clear, Jennifer. You're saying that by adding the words, it is suggested that wording is what protects us.
No.
That we have to say that in some kind of way we have to put in the 24-hour notice.
No, we don't. I mean, that this was Arlene Engelhardt's idea. And it's like another layer. I mean, the motion states all the various things that producers are really not allowed to talk about on air. So that's there, and producers see it. The 24-hour, the suggestion of the 24-hour policy is just another layer of protection. For the foundation, you know, if we get into a lawsuit, whatever, we can say, well, you know, if the producer said, well, I didn't know, I couldn't say, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, we say, well, you know, we suggested that if you had a problem, you should submit this and let management look at it.
So let me just ask this.
And that's enough of a legal, apparently a legal barrier.
Well, I guess what I was getting at, the bottom line, was I didn't understand, or I'm asking, why is that necessary at all? Isn't it, and why would it not be enough to simply put in the four or seven, I forget, things that a programmer is not allowed to say or do? And if they sign it, it's sort of like a programmer policy, I guess, of some sort. And you knew coming on as a programmer that you're not allowed to do A, B, C, and D. You went and did it, having signed the document. You're responsible. So why do we have to put in any wording at all about 24-hour notice? Why does a programmer have to have the burden? I'm sorry.
I kind of agree with you. You know, that this whole thing is kind of unnecessary, but the executive director feels that we need this additional layer. I honestly think that the four categories would be enough, but I don't see the harm in putting that down. It doesn't really affect producers unless there's some kind of a lawsuit or a problem. It's just another way for Pacifica to say, well, you know, we had this, we offered this policy to producers so that they wouldn't get involved in the four things they couldn't say, and they didn't choose to come to us for advice. I mean, that's how I see it.
Can I say something?
Right.
Okay, well, next on the stack we have Alberto and then Kim. If we could keep our comments brief, that would be good.
I'm going to try, sir. I'm going to try.
I know.
Okay, and I'm
good luck, Alberto.
I know, and I'm going to make the points in reference to Benito's question. There's, you know, we're hearing a perspective. The other perspective, and why the supposed gag rule was presented, had to do with some events that happened on the air at K KPFA during a tumultuous part of a changeover in administration over a hell of a lot of other stuff that has really very little to do with the discussion, Benito, that we were just having a few minutes ago. And it got a little bit very smelly. And management, executive director, you know, tried to direct an effort so that those kinds of words would not happen again. And I will give you today's example, sir, given what just happened to General McChrystal and President Obama. That was exactly the same thing that happened in this little context, minute context, with certain members that had the microphone and 100,000 watts criticizing, you know, criticizing for me is a soft word to what was aired. Unfortunately, I did not hear exactly all of the comments that went on for days. Having said that, I know we will come up with some kind, the National Board is going to come out with some kind of resolution on this matter. It is not a gag rule, and it is not just a little four statements, four things that programmers are not supposed to say, because that's really not the issue here. Having said all of that, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we can go ahead and recommend any version of the policy, and it will be brought before the national board, and eventually there will be a vote, and if 12 people vote for whatever version of this motion, that will come to pass. But it just, you know, the motion was referred to this committee. It was referred to this committee. Arlene's motion was referred to this committee. Jennifer and Alex gave it some thought, brought back this other alternative motion, and whatever we send back to them, the National Board is going to decide. But I just wanted to clarify a little bit that what Arlene brought forth to us had to do with some very nasty, you know, over-the-air, transmissions with human voice that, for me, were, you know, I was just a little bit very upset over some of the stuff that was said, and there's no need for that. But some people seem to think that because they have the mic, they can say whatever they want to about the organization, their superiors, quotes and quotes, and everybody, obviously, and I don't mean it superiors with a capital S, but just people that are in this totem pole that makes the Pacifica Foundation the Pacifica Foundation. And that's what I have to say to that, Benito, because there's more to it than just what we are hearing here at the moment. And I'm shaking, and I'm sorry. I will shut up now, Mr. Chairman, I need to get off the phone, and I will come back as soon as I can, and if not, all of you people have a good night. But there's more to this, Benito. There's more to this than what you heard.
Can I answer, please.
Thank you, Alberto. We hope to be on 10 more minutes. So.
Can I answer Alberto's help?
I think he's gone.
Benito's sake?
Yeah, we'd like to hear.
There's a history. There is a history.
Wait. Jennifer, we had Kim on the stack.
Okay. Well, I wanted to answer that first.
Okay, you'll be on the stack later.
Well, I guess I also wanted to hear the history. The only thing I want to say is that I see, how it works out, is I'm not sure that all of the programmers have actually read all of the things they actually need to read, and it's in a file that says they've read it as is required. I don't think that's done at my station. It's not good. So I just want to let you know, you know, we can make all these motions, but it may not be happening at the station. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Jennifer.
That's a very good point.
You know, we
can say all we want, but it ain't getting done at the station.
This is why the foundation wants these things in writing as part of the policy. Then, you know, I mean, we could tack something on that this will be distributed to all programmers.
That's fine.
And it should be anyway. I mean, they should know they can't say libelous things. They can't violate confidential employee information and all of these things. Some people may not realize that. And some people may do it deliberately. And if they're going to do it deliberately, whether there's a 24-hour rule or not, they're going to do it.
So you're saying you need to add, Jennifer, some language here saying these four areas should be distributed to staff?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That this policy should be distributed
to all producers. I would add that people should sign it.
Yes, and they should sign it. That's a good point.
Well, you know, maybe we need to pass that by counsel, you know, the lawyer, to see if that holds weight, whether they sign it or not.
And Kimberly's on the phone, and he's a programmer. I think we should hear his point of view.
Okay.
Sure.
We can. Actually, I was going to call myself on the stack, though. We did have a stack. So, Jennifer, as to your recommended language, actually, Benito made, or maybe it was you, made a very good point. Whatever it is, it should be run by council to see if it meets the needs that this thing was originally meant to address. I have no problem with your changes below, the ones in bold. It is suggested that. This is a suggestion, but to protect the staff member from mistakenly airing the following. Because your language does say that any broadcast of material, including in the above four clauses, which, as you say, are libelous statements, confidential information, privileged information, and violate SEC, any broadcast of that will subject the staff involved to disciplinary action. So that's very clear that it's a problem.
It covers it, I think.
Yeah, my one issue with it is the first paragraph that is like a preamble here, which is the following. Can I just go through the points? The following guidelines...
I have to go. If you want to vote, I'm going to vote yes on this. But I mean, I thought this meeting was over at 7, so I just... need to go now. Is that okay with y'all?
Well, I'm going to have a hard time voting yes on this preamble. I could happily vote for it without the preamble.
The issue here is
it differentiates between grievances and legitimate policy differences. I don't know.
Jamie, I'm willing to scratch that.
Okay, so we could have an amendment to remove the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm. I don't really, yeah, all right, that's fine.
Okay, that's my main issue.
I'm fine with that.
All right, and then, do people want to run through this stuff and go to a vote? Is that what people would like to accomplish here?
I would.
Okay, well then why don't we go through that? Is there any objection to removing the first paragraph, which starts "the following guidelines apply to grievances" and then ends "satirical or humorous manner as well as more straightforward debate"? Is there any objection to removing that?
Was your reasoning, Jamie?
Well, I was just told that we had to go to a vote, so I'm. I think it's kind
you
of a gray area.
You don't have to go
area.
For a vote. I just have to leave. So you don't need for a vote.
Okay, I didn't really... The rest of the policy seems pretty clear, and this brings up shades of gray, which are really hard to differentiate. It says it applies to grievances between staff and management, but did not apply to legitimate policy differences. I don't know, you know, the producer's going to say, well, this wasn't a grievance, this was a legitimate policy difference.
I think we should get rid of it, too.
So I would just like to...
It causes confusion in terms of how stuff is interpreted.
Exactly. And it really doesn't speak to the policy, frankly.
Yeah, okay, so that makes sense.
So is there any objection to removing the first paragraph there?
No, only from Alex Steinberg.
Okay, well, he's not here. So, That passes without objection. Objection. Okay, and then we had, is there any objection that we ask the policy to be run by counsel? I mean, I guess they'll do that anyway. That's probably redundant. Let's skip that. Is there any objection to...
Jamie, I think what I understood that it would be run by counsel to see if producer should sign it.
Right.
Not...
Okay.
Not in... I don't want counsel deciding on the whole motion.
Okay, well, is there
any objection
to adding language about that this policy should be distributed to on-air people and they should sign it? Is there any objection to that?
And they should sign it if counsel deems this necessary.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
Is there any objection to that language?
Let me say this. I thought that the idea of suggesting that people sign it is so that, at least in my mind, was so that on the one hand, the foundation has proof that it provided the information to the programmer, but on the other hand, so that the programmer actually gets a copy. Because I know the problem, but I don't know who said it, about, you know, folks are supposed to get copies of stuff and they never do. And that management says that we gave everybody a copy.
How about if producers sign off on it?
Okay, so we need to add language that producers should sign off on this policy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, good. So that's added without objection. Is there any objection to adding that? Passes without objection. Okay, good. And then finally, then there's the entire motion as it now stands, which now starts with policy regarding the public airing of grievances and ends with... Well, it ends with a lot of text. Staff and board members and make every effort to resolve issues off air and preserve that precious airtime for providing excellent radio that serves our communities. Is there any objection to approving this to send it on to the PNB?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
The first part in the preamble is about the notify 24 in advance. Is that what it is?
Well, the preamble, no, there was a preamble added which doesn't address that.
Oh, I see.
Which tries to distinguish between legitimate policy differences and criticisms of management or something else. But we removed that.
Grievances versus legitimate policy differences.
Yeah, the 24-hour is part of it, but the way it reads now is that...
Suggested?
Yes. However, I'll read you this paragraph. However, we believe that the privilege of whistleblowing carries with it the responsibility of fairness. Therefore, if a staff member has finally reached a point at which he or she feels there is no other option than to use this program as a platform from which to criticize Pacifica of its management or its personnel or to air internal Pacifica matters in a way that might negatively impact the reputation of the public image of the foundation or its personnel, it is suggested that both the station manager and the foundation executive director be notified that a planned broadcast of at least 24 hours in advance. This is a suggestion not for the purpose of censorship, but to protect the staff member from mistakenly airing the following. Then it lists the four items that we don't want aired on our airwaves. And then it follows that those four items with a statement, any broadcast of material included in the above four clauses will subject the staff involved to disciplinary action. So that's the middle part of the motion. Does that answer your question there, Nancy?
Well,
yes?
I can see if anybody notifies 24 hours in advance, his program will be preempted.
That's why it's just suggested.
Well, yeah, this we removed the
bottom line.
we remove the requirement.
Well, how about put cannot be preempted?
Well, you know, I would object to cannot be preempted. Management always has the right to preempt, in my view. I wouldn't vote for that. But we have something before us which appears to be a compromise, which does not require a 24-hour pre-notification, which is what we're trying to approve of now. Actually, this meeting should end now. We're supposed to end at 10:30, so...
Did we put in that everyone who signs it gets a copy of it?
Or that everybody has to get a copy and has to sign is, I thought, what we agreed.
Yeah,
we agreed. We agreed we need to add language that producers should sign off on this policy.
Well, sign off, does that mean they get a copy?
Well, it doesn't say one way or the other.
Then we should say that. We should say that, that they have to get a copy.
Okay, is there any objection to adding the words "and get a copy" at the end of that sentence about signing off on the policy?
No, no objection.
Okay, so we'll add that. And then we brings us to the policy as a whole, as revised by Jennifer, and then as amended in this meeting this evening. Are there any objections to approving the policy as a whole? Okay, hearing none, the policy passes. And we'll propose that to the PNB.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, everybody. Okay, folks, this
brings
us to the scheduled end of the meeting, so it's 10:30. So thank you all for being here, and we will see you again. When's our next meeting now? We'll see you again July 29th.
Okay.
Thanks. Good night.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, folks.